disconnected from the modern world? Can you hear me in the back? Do you feel disconnected from the modern world? Do you feel uneasy? Do you feel like you don't fit in and you don't know who you are and where you belong? And do you find yourself standing in front of a room full of strangers asking rhetorical questions? Me too, and like, you know, and I feel like it's been years since I'm just uneasy and confused, and I don't know where my place in the universe is. The last time I knew who I was and what I was supposed to be was when I was seeing that dominatrix who had the label gun, and that was awesome. But now I'm just like totally, but the thing is, you're not alone. Like, we all suffer from the same thing, which is ill-defined feeling of not fitting in syndrome. It's really serious. It Fonfis is the number one cause of itself in America, and possibly in other places as well. And but the thing is that it's not our fault. It's not, okay? Society has let us down because, you know, society was supposed to tell us, and like, where is all the unthinking conformity that we're always hearing so much about? And how can I get some? And you know, why did the institutions that were supposed to like crush our spirits and destroy our individuality, why have they failed us? The churches, the schools, the prisons, that place you go where you have the orange thing and you fill it up and then they give you a blue thing. They've all failed us. And we need to take to the streets and organize, and that's why we're here tonight, to organize and get out and demand that they crush our individuality. They've got to finish the job. The lazy ass, you know, just because they let us go doesn't mean that we're ready. We need to, but you know, and the thing is, okay, that you're never too old. Just the other day, 82-year-old Elmer Drewbridge of West Park, Massachusetts, had a 6-day hunger strike on the steps of the West Haven Middle School until they agreed to socialize him at last. And now he's a well-functioning member of society, and we can be too, but we have to take action. But the sad truth is that our social institutions are never going to be enough on their own, which is why we have MFAs. And, you know, MFAs, you know, anybody from an accredited institution with an MFA is like a master of making all the little pieces fit and explaining everything. And they've spent hours and hours and hours knowing how to make sense of you. And they're like an army of reality subjugators. And so we've lured them here tonight by like having an allegedly literary evening. This Ratters with Dinks, Ranters with Dinks is allegedly literary. And you know, so the thing about MFAs is they go in herds. You never get just one of them. So there's probably like 20 of them here tonight. And just point, if you see an MFA near you, you can usually tell, just point them out. Okay, there's one, okay. And just there, okay. And just like, we're gonna split into small groups and each one of us will take one MFA and they will fix us. We're not leaving until they do it, okay? Because, you know, and we're gonna, helping us, leading us through this exercise in you know, narrative conformity is Priscilla Lee, who actually, she fixed me. I was a total mess. You don't even want to know. She totally fixed me, and she's, you know, she had her corneas replaced with negaplastic shielding so that she can actually like see like the negative image of everybody and also hypnotize people. And she's part of that whole sort of macho frat poet thing. They've got that clubhouse on top of the Transamerica pyramid. It's like precariously balanced, and they sit in there and they throw darts and smoke cigars and you know, play strip cestinas and you know, eat marshmallows off of like, you know, naked interns and all that good stuff. And they're just basically party poets. And but the problem is, because of the precariously balanced on top of the Transamerica pyramid thing, they can't all be at one end of the room at the same time, or it'll just collapse. It'll fall into North Beach. And so they're constantly they have to like have an equal number of poets at each side of the room. And so yeah, I do that, sorry. order! Anyway, so that, you know, they have an equal number of poets at each side of the room, and so they had a schism, and they ended up with different schools of frat angry party poetry, and like you know, one half of the room, you know, was like owning their catharsis and the other half was just leasing their catharsis. And, you know, there were like the political monologues versus like the personal monologues from the point of view of the Earth's magma. And it was just like everything, they were like trapped in a teeter-tottering metaphor for our dysfunctional culture. And so Priscilla finally like, you know, took action and, you know, brought them together by unleashing like a whole army of 1-inch tall Harold Blooms to tell them that they were not canonical. They were like little naked Harold Blooms, except they had neckties. And that united everybody. And so, you know, she's a uniter, not a divider. And she has a book, which I had here a second ago. Oh, she has a book called Wishbone of her poetry. And she's been in Ziziva and a bunch of other amazing magazines. So please welcome the astounding, incredible, negaplastic Priscilla Lee.